Maybe I can get a maybe get a blank of sheet of paper for the kids too. Something I like to change the topic.
Okay.
We can maybe get yeah. So that's what we'll do.
Now we have a template.
Yeah. Those we'll do next week. It's good preparation for Easter, which is going to be less than 3 weeks ago from today. Yeah, what he was saying, I think, is very important to try to make a really good confession. What I'll try to do, I'll try to go through the commandments and give you some ideas, okay? To make a good confession, there are five steps. The first is you have to examine your conscience. Second is you have to have sorrow for sin. Third would be firm purpose of amendment, that you want to really try not to go back and do it again. Then the next would be you confess your sins to the priest. And after that, you do the penance. So those are the five classical steps. What I'll try to do today, I think it's important we form our conscience well. What I'm going to try to do, I'm going to go through the commandments. Let's go through the Ten Commandments. And probably most of you don't have the Ten Commandments memorized, but you should. You should try to memorize the Ten Commandments. So the Ten Commandments, the first is this: I'm the Lord your God, you should have no gods besides me. That's the first commandment. The second commandment is to make sure that you honor God's name. That you honor God's name. The third commandment is remember to keep holy the Sabbath. Fourth commandment is what? The fourth commandment is honor your father and your mother. The fifth commandment is you shall not kill. Sixth commandment, you shall not commit adultery. Seventh commandment is you shall not steal. Eighth commandment, you should not lie or bear false witness. The ninth commandment is you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. And the tenth is you should not covet your neighbor's goods. So what I'm going to do is I want you to write down the commandment. I'm going to give you one way in which you can break the commandment, another way in which you can live out the commandment. Okay, so write down the first commandment is, I am the Lord your God. You should not have other gods before me. I am the Lord your God. You shall not have other gods before me. So I give you a way in which we can break it, and then a way in which we can live it out. Okay? And we're going to give you a very extensive examination of the Ten Commandments. Okay, let's start with one way that we can break this commandment. And okay, write down the word idolatry. Idolatry. Okay, let me give you ways in which we can be guilty of idolatry. Okay, Okay, listen to me now, and I'll try to explain it as clearly as possible. Okay, materialism. Okay, next, consumerism. Next, hedonism. Next, agnosticism. Next, atheism. Next, rationalism. Next, moral relativism. Okay, I've given you about 10 different philosophical systems that lead to idolatry. Materialism means when you place material things above God. Consumerism means if you have material things like money, you buy too much. Hedonism means the philosophy of pleasure. Okay? Of pleasure becomes your God. Okay? Then you have agnosticism, which means you don't accept any God whatsoever. Maybe God exists, maybe God doesn't exist. Then we mentioned atheism. What does atheism mean? Atheism means that you deny that God exists. That's an atheist. And then moral relativism. You know what that is, Jack? I didn't think so, so I'll tell you. Moral relativism means, I don't believe that there's such thing as absolute truth. So the truth depends upon the person, the place, the thing, the social mores, my own subjective feelings. But we believe that there is a truth, right? We believe that truth does exist. So that's one way in which you can be breaking the first commandment, is by giving in to these false philosophical systems in your mind. And once you embrace the wrong idea, then you have wrong actions. Okay. So once you embrace the wrong ideas, you end up by, you have a bad thought, and you end up by doing a bad action. My father would say, the thought is the father of the deed. Well said, Dad. The thought is the father of the deed. Now, I'd like to mention one more, with your permission. You might even write down Satanism. Have you ever heard of that? Satanism. Now, I'm going to say something that a lot of you don't agree with, probably. But I would hammer this away. Over the past 30 years, one of the most widely read books are called books by Harry Potter. Okay? Harry Potter. Don't read it. Mm-hmm. Don't read it. Because you got wizards, you got witches, you got superstition, you got spells, all that. So don't read it. So probably most of you have read something of Harry Potter. You're probably maybe reading it now. I would say, okay, stop reading it now, okay? And I'll give you a very strong argument why. Are you listening? Okay, the most famous exorcist in the world, you know what an exorcist is? It's someone that casts out devils, because someone can be possessed by devils. That's true. And often it's not one devil, but many devils can get inside you. As in the case of Mary Magdalene, had seven devils within her. That's in the Bible, right, Rosa? She had seven devils. This I heard from Patrick Madrid this morning, so I'd like to share it. Is the most famous exorcist in the world for 25 years was a man, his name, Gabriel Damorth. And I heard his book by, an audio book by him, many years ago. And his book is on exorcisms, on casting out devils. And he says that if you're reading this book, then you're opening up a portal. You're opening up your heart to the devil. Okay, I'm the only one you're ever going to hear this from, but I'm telling you, don't open up your door to the devil. Don't play around with the Ouija board either. You've heard of the Ouija board, right? Spanish La Ouija. Don't play around with that. Don't go to these psychic readers. Or probably your mom and dad have gone to more than once. Don't go there. Don't go there. They're going to be reading your palms. They're going to be looking into a crystal ball. They're going to get some eggs and they're going to be breaking eggs on you. It's called an Olympia. And you're opening up your door to the devil. And none of you want to be overcome by the devil, right? Don't open your heart to the devil. So, satanic practices is growing very strong in this country. There are schools that have satanic groups after school. They already have them. San Bernardino. They're going to arrive at L.A. Don't open up your hearts to what's evil. Open your hearts to God. Amen? Open your hearts to God. A few years ago, maybe when you were only in first grade, you had Charlie. Remember playing around with the pencils, right? Invoking the bad spirit. Not to say you're going to be possessed by the devil, but you're opening up your heart to the evil spirit. Last night I spoke to 300 people about that in the exercises, in the two standards. No? We can give the two standard to these kids too, on their level. Right, Rosa? Jeremy? We can give them the two standards. Our life is a battle between the good spirit and the bad spirit. It's a battle. Okay, so, if you're giving in to any type of idolatry, that's against the first commandment. Now, the nature of an idol is this. When you place any person, place, thing, or object above God, that's an idol. I repeat, when you place any person, place or thing above God, that's an idol. So that's one idea in the first commandment. We're going to be giving you a commandment, an examination command, examination of conscience is going to be much more extensive. Okay, so let's write down a way that we can, okay, that's a way in which you break the commandment. Let's talk about a way that you can observe the commandment. Okay, write down this. Authentic prayer. Every time you pray well, you are observing the first commandment. So let me give you a short definition of prayer, and let's try to pray more and try to pray better. Amen? Pray more and pray better. Here's a good definition of prayer. Prayer is listening to God. Prayer is speaking to God. And prayer is loving God. Yeah. Got that? Prayer is listening to God. Prayer is speaking to God. And prayer is loving God. Prayer is very, very important. Let me give you an analogy. What air is to the lungs, prayer is to the soul. Amen. Huh? What prayer is to the lungs, what air is to the lungs, prayer is to the soul. When I was your age, I was able to swim about a minute underneath the water. Good swimmer, huh? But when I came up, was that air sweet. Man. Boy, did I relish that air. Yeah, try to imagine spending a minute underneath the water. Most of you probably couldn't do that. You have to have pretty good lungs, right? If you don't breathe, you're going to die. You're going to die. If you don't pray spiritually, you're going to die. It's as simple as that. I repeat, if you don't breathe, you're going to die. If you don't pray, your spiritual lungs are going to dry up and they're going to die. Yeah, it's true. So that's a way in which we can observe the first commandment. Is spending more time in prayer. Now, if you don't want to pray, I would suggest pray twice as much. Okay? Because one of the principal reasons why we don't want to pray is because we're lazy. We're lazy because of we're flojos in Spanish. We're lazy. And laziness is one of the capital sins. Somos locos, no? So you want to overcome the laziness and pray. And sometimes the best prayer can be when you don't feel like it. Do you know what Jesus did before he was nailed to the cross? He went into a garden. It's called the Garden of Olives. He went into a garden with three of his best friends, Peter, James, and John. You know what happened? Jesus entered into an agony. Because according to the great saints, all the sins of the world were descending upon Jesus there in the Garden of Gethsemane. All the sins of the world. From Adam and Eve to the last person of the whole world. They are descending upon him like a torrential downpour of rain coming down upon him. And he prayed so fervently that he sweat blood. Did you know that? He sweat blood. He was so loaded by a spirit of desolation that he sweat blood. Did he give up prayer? He prayed all the more fervently when he really didn't feel like it. So sometimes we have to pray our rosary when we don't even feel like it. Yeah. Got that? Yeah. And face it, we're lazy. We have a lot of time for our phone. We like to eat. We like to sleep. Okay, we like to do all those sensual things. No problem, huh? But the arduous task of praying, we throw in the towel. And we pay the consequences. Did you know what the apostles did when Jesus was praying? They fell asleep. How many times? Three times. And then Jesus was arrested. And they abandoned Jesus Christ because they fell asleep when they should have been praying. Yeah. That's the reason why. That's the reason why. So if you're trying to pray well, you're observing the first commandment, and the first commandment is the greatest of all the commandments. Amen? Okay. So that's the first commandment. I'm giving just one idea. Let's move to the second commandment. Okay, write down The second commandment, you shall not take the Lord's name in vain. Shall not take the name, the Lord's name in vain. Okay, a way that we can break that commandment is, let's start off with breaking it. Okay, write down, abusing the name of Jesus, Mary, Joseph, the angels, the saints. That's a way in which we're breaking that commandment. Have great respect for the name of Jesus Christ. Great respect. Okay, let's see. What way can we observe this commandment? Okay, let me give you a way in which you can observe this commandment. Okay. At the name of Jesus, bow your head. Okay. At the name of Jesus, bow your head. St. Paul says, at the name of Jesus, may every knee in heaven, on earth, and underneath earth bow to the ground, St. Paul says. Nick, you've seen me celebrate Mass. What do I do every time I say the name of Jesus when I'm celebrating the Mass? You notice that? Every time I'm celebrating Mass, you've seen me before, right? So I say the name of Jesus, I bow my head. It's a simple reverence, as well as the name of Mary, as well as the saint of the day. Those are the rubrics. So have great respect for the name of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Okay, one other idea. When you're tempted by the devil, and we're all tempted by the devil, pray the Hail Mary, and when you say Jesus, bow your head, and you're going to conquer the devil. It'll work. Try it. Try it. And we're all tempted by the devil. The devil's tempting you to do something wrong, and you know it. And you're kind of battling. When you say the Hail Mary, and you say the name Jesus, then bow your head. And you see the devil is going to take to flight. It works. Try it. Now let's move on to the third commandment now. I'm giving you one way to observe and one way to break. The third commandment is to keep, remember to keep the Lord's Day holy. Remember to keep the Lord's Day holy. Okay, let's give the way in which we can break that commandment. Okay, we break that commandment by not going to Mass on Sunday. So write that down. By not going to Mass on Sunday. So let's talk a little bit about this. There's some confusion on that. Okay, say for example you're traveling on Sunday. And maybe you got a baseball game out there in Sacramento in a tournament, okay? Okay, you're going to be traveling from 6 o'clock. You're going to come home at 9 o'clock in the evening. It's going to be a doubleheader, okay? Okay, there's no way you're going to be able to go to Mass because you're in a baseball tournament for Pony League, okay? That's all Sunday. Hey, to Mass Saturday evening. You played baseball before. Go to Mass Saturday evening. Did you know if you go to Mass Saturday evening, that's good enough for Sunday? It's funny how a few of your parents still know that. I mean, this has been applicable for 50 years, you know, even before your parents were born. When I was your age, we couldn't do it. This has been around for about 55 years. So you got to travel. Okay, go to Mass Saturday evening. Here we have it at 6 o'clock. Other places have it at 5:30. Others have it at 5. Some have it as early as like 4 or 4:30. Okay? So you say a little bit of anticipation. Okay? All right, to form your conscience well. He got COVID, and you're in the hospital on a breathing machine. It's Sunday. Is it a sin to miss Mass on Sunday in that circumstance? Hello? What? Is it a sin? Why not? Because you're sick. You don't even have to confess that. You're sick. Okay, say for example, your mother is in Michoacan, and you have to watch over your little sister that's 3 years old, and your sister is sick and throwing up all over the place, and you're 5 miles away from the church. Didn't go to Mass on Sunday, mortal sin? Mortal sin? You got a little sister. Is it a mortal sin? No. Because your mom is in Michoacan. You're watching over your little sister. So that's not a mortal sin. Watch it online. Watch it online. So there are always exceptions to the rule. I'll give you a very, very interesting scenario. My dad once called my mom and said, you know, I didn't go to Mass last Sunday because my dad was in Australia or New Zealand, which is the other part of the world. And when he was traveling to New Zealand, there were two Sundays. But when he was coming back, the time zone was such that there was no Sunday. So he called my mom and said, I didn't make it to Mass this Sunday, no? So that was impossible because of the time zone. Okay? The time zone. That's not going to be a sin because he couldn't go because there was no Sunday in that day because of the time zone. But simply missing Mass because of laziness, that's a mortal sin. So if it is such that your parents don't always go to Mass on Sunday, then you have to remind your parents to go to Mass on Sunday. Now, well, when I was their age, I could go by myself. I don't know about you, let your kids go by themselves, but maybe times have changed. If I was 13 or 14, I would get in my bike and I could travel a couple of miles and go to Mass by myself. I don't know about you today. But you have to do all you possibly can to make it a Mass on Sunday. So missing Mass on Sunday without any reason, that's a mortal sin. Now, you tell your parents and they don't take you and you can't get to Mass, and it's not your sin, but it's a sin of your parents. Okay? But you have to remind them. All right. Okay, now how can we observe this? Okay, go to Mass, participate fully, actively, and consciously. Fully, actively, and consciously, and receive communion with great love. Participate fully, actively, and consciously, and receive Holy Communion with great love. So let's spend a minute on, what are the conditions to receive communion properly? There are three, and you should have this memorized. What are the three conditions to receive communion well? One is that you have to believe that it's Holy Communion. You have to believe that it's the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. If you don't believe that the Eucharist is Christ, you should not receive communion. If you believe it's just a symbol, then you shouldn't receive Holy Communion. You're not a Catholic, you're a Protestant, okay? A Protestant believes it's a symbol. We believe in the reality of Jesus in communion. And you should never say this, as they say in Spanish, voy para agarrar el pan. I hate that. You ever hear that one? Voy a agarrar el pan. Don't say that. I'm going to go grab the bread. Go to Vons or Ralph's. You know? Or go to Food for Less and grab the bread there and buy it. Okay? But you should never say, I'm going to go up and get the bread. Don't say that. Let's polish your vocabulary a little bit. What should you say? You don't even know. Well, that's why we got confirmation class, right? You should say, I'm going to go up to receive Holy Communion. Yeah. So let's polish our vocabulary a little bit, huh? I'm going to go up and receive Holy Communion. So you shouldn't receive the Eucharist if you don't believe in the real presence. Second, you have to fast. How long do you have to fast? Any of you know? Yeah, do you know? You know, Juan Pablo? You know? You don't know. Do you know?
1 hour.
Okay, 1 hour. So an hour before communion, you shouldn't be eating anything. Thanks be to God for the mask, right? Yeah. Now, you can drink water. And say, for example, you got a migraine headache, a splitting headache. You can take some ibuprofen. You can take some aspirin. But eating a hamburger or a Milky Way bar or drinking Coca-Cola, you can't do that. You have to fast for an hour. Now, when I was your age, it was 3 hours. 3 hours. And when my mother was your age, it was since midnight you couldn't even drink water. So now it's a piece of cake. And like on Sunday, you're going to the Mass. And say, for example, you go to the 8 o'clock Mass. You finish eating something at 7:30, the priest is not giving out the communion until 8:45 anyway. So it's almost as if the fast doesn't exist. But you have to be aware of making that fast. Now, if say, for example, you pop a lifesaver in your mouth when you're in the car. Now, lifesaver is candy, right? You can ask the priest to give you what's called a dispensation. Did you know that? You can ask the priest in L.A., this diocese, to give you a dispensation. Father, I had a cookie in the car. I totally forgot. And we can give you a dispensation. You can go to the priest in the sacristy. If you come to me, even before receiving communion, you say, Father, dispensation, I'll bow, and I'll give you communion. But try to make the fast. It's really not that much anyway. And next is, if you're receiving communion, you have to be in the state of grace. You shouldn't have a mortal sin in your soul. So if you commit a mortal sin, what do you have to do, Nick? You should go to confession first, right? You shouldn't go out to communion if you're aware of a mortal sin. You've heard of a mortal sin, right, Jack? Okay. Grave matter, full knowledge, full consent of the will, right? So you commit a mortal sin, make sure that you go You go to confession first. Father Greg Staub used to say, okay, you go outside, you see someone on the street, and the guy's dead. And you go over to McDonald's, you buy a hamburger, and you try to put the hamburger in his mouth. He's already dead. Is he going to be able to chew that and digest that hamburger if he's already dead? What do you think? Well, if you're spiritually dead, you shouldn't receive Holy Communion. Pretty graphic, but I kind of like that, no? Pretty graphic, but it's understandable. You can't eat anything if you're a corpse or dead in a cemetery, can you? No. So we shouldn't receive communion if we're spiritually dead. Got that? Okay. So that's the third commandment. You break it by not going to Mass on Sunday, but you live it out by going to Mass and receiving communion with great love. Amen. Now let's move into the fourth commandment. I really like this topic. No preparation, but I'll wing it, huh? Okay, the fourth commandment is probably one of the most difficult ones for teenagers, no? And that is, honor your mother and your father. That's a toughie, huh? I wonder, have you ever heard the voice of God? I wonder. You ever hear God speak to you? Well, let's see. You ever hear God speak to you? Hey, get out of bed. Time to go to school. That's God speaking to you. Hey, make your bed. I've already told you 5 times. That's God speaking to you. Hey, get in the car. We're going to be late for church. That's God speaking to you. Hey, time to eat. Turn the TV off and hurry. It's time to eat. That's God speaking to you. Hey, stop fighting with your brother. That's God speaking to you. Hey, get in your room and study. You got a big test tomorrow. Study. God's speaking to you. Hey, today's Tuesday. It's the most important afternoon in the week. We got to go to confirmation. Hurry up. We don't want you to be late for Father Broome's class. Hurry up. That's God speaking to you. Huh? Turn off the TV. Put your phone away. Come on, it's time to pray the rosary. That's God speaking to you. You probably didn't like that. What I'm saying is, God speaks in many ways. But God speaks through a lawful authority, among which are two individuals. They're called your mother and your father. God speaks through your mother and your father, no? You know, in a family of nine, a big family, my mom and my dad had basically two rules. Can I tell you those rules? By the way, shortly before coming here, Jeremy and Rosa, I was talking with my mom. My mom said she can be praying for these kids and praying for Nick, no? So my mother is praying for all of you. Woody, she's probably praying her rosary for you now. I think that's a holy person too. No? My mom's praying for you. So if you feel a little bit holy this afternoon, you probably know why. No? She has 39 grandchildren, and some of them are your age too. No? How about that? 39? That's a big number, isn't it? No? A lot of prayers, huh? Well, we had two rules in the house. Number one is don't tell lies. Did you ever tell a lie? Don't tell lies. Because if you tell lies, then no one's going to be able to trust you. And all of you can't be walking around with a lie detector around your wrist. You know what a lie detector is? Never heard of that? You know what that is, right, Jeremy? Lie detector indicates whether or not you're telling a lie or not. Doesn't always work. But all the members of the family can't be walking around with a lie detector, can they? No. Because, say for example, your brother and your sister are lying. You can't trust anyone. And Jesus said this. Jesus says this. The devil is the father of lies. So if you tell lies, you're the son of the devil. Oh, you like that? A tough one, huh? Oh, Jesus said it, not Father Broome. Jesus said the devil is the father of lies. You tell lies, you're a daughter of the devil. No? None of us want to be a son or daughter of the devil, do we? No. And the second rule is they made sure that we had to obey them. Those are the days where parents were obeyed. So maybe you don't want to obey your parents. Do it for the love of God. That's the fourth commandment. Father Larry once told the story of this these boys that they were cowboys, and they lived in Wyoming, when there's a lot of animals and a lot of rolling hills and a lot of bears and a lot of wolves and a lot of sheep. And the father had two teenage sons, and they had their own horses, and they watched over their sheep. So the father told the sons, don't go up and over the hill, but go around the hill. Okay? To get to the sheep. Don't go up, but go around. They obeyed. You know who was waiting for them right over the hill? These two big grizzly bears. Ever hear a grizzly bear? What would have happened if they disobeyed? The grizzly bears would have jumped, pounced upon them, would have bitten them and probably ripped them to pieces. But bears are strong. And don't think that you can outrun a bear. Okay? Maybe they say running down a hill you can maybe, but running up a hill no. They're just running in general. Bears are big, but they're fast. So if they were to have disobeyed, they would have been eaten alive by the bears. And after dying, where would they have gone? Possibly to hell, right? So thanks be to God that they obeyed. So, the fourth commandment is this. You observe it by obeying your parents. Obeying your parents. Okay, how do you break it? Well, you know, this is an indirect way of doing it. Okay, you can break it by, write it down, by fighting with your brothers and your sisters. Because it's all part of the family, huh? So instead of fighting with your brothers and your sisters, try to be friends. Amen? Yeah. Try to be friends. So the fourth commandment is related to our family relations, our brother, our sister, our mother, our father. Okay? Trying to create a harmonious relationship among our family members. Okay, let's move on to the fifth commandment. What's the fifth commandment? None of you know, so I'll tell you. The fifth commandment, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill. Okay, I'm going to tell you a way in which you can break that. It may be a little bit surprising for you, but it's a story that I read in a book years ago, maybe about 35 years ago, on kindness by Father Levasic. It's a story of this girl. Her name was Sylvia. She lived in Chicago, and she lived a very immoral life, a very sinful life. She was a Catholic, but she didn't live her Catholic faith at all. She moved from Chicago to Los Angeles, and she went through a conversion before she came to Los Angeles. She's very gifted with music, and one of her talents was she could play the piano and the organ. So she comes to the church in L.A. and asks the priest if she's able to maybe play the organ, the piano, to help out in the choir in one of the masses. And the priest said, well, are you able to do it? And she practiced, and the priest said, yeah, you're pretty good. So she started to play the organ and the piano in the mass. Now, people loved her. She was really talented. She could not only play the piano, she had a good voice, too. What happened was this. One of the women that knew her from Chicago knew of her sinful past life. And she came to Los Angeles and came to the same church and saw Sylvia playing the piano and the organ. And what she did was she slandered or calumniated Sylvia. You ever hear the word slander or calumniate? It means she spoke bad about Sylvia, telling the people in the parish, now she really lived a bad life in Chicago. Why are you letting her play the organ now? She's a bad girl. So what happened was the people stopped talking to Sylvia, and they ignored her, they shunned her, and then she approached the priest and said, why are people treating me this way? And the priest said, well, someone who used to live in Chicago told us about your bad lifestyle, and the people don't want you to play the organ anymore. She fell into a deep depression. She went over to a bridge. She threw herself off the bridge and she killed herself. True story. She committed suicide. Yeah. Thou shalt not kill. You can kill by your tongue. Okay. You can kill by your tongue. So write down, okay, a way in which we can break the fifth commandment. Let's learn a couple new words. Slander. Slander, okay? Here's even a bigger word. Oh, nothing wrong with learning new words, right? It's called to calumniate. You ever hear that word, Rosa? Not yet? It's a bigger word. It's a college word, but nothing wrong with learning a big word. Called calumniate. Slander. You see what happened? That girl that came from Chicago, because of her calumniating, the girl committed suicide. Serious. So, hey, this is good advice. Think before you speak. Good advice. Think before you open up your mouth, huh? Think before you speak. You might even write in parentheses, what's the best chapter in the world of the sins of the tongue? Do you know? It's St. James, chapter 3. You want a really good chapter? And the sins of the tongue, James chapter 3, is a spiritual masterpiece. Never read James chapter 3. It's a short chapter. It's really good, though. Right, Mary? It's a really good chapter. And he says that we should be slow to speak and quick to listen. Do you have two ears and one mouth, or two mouths and one ear? You got two ears, right? You got one. So you should listen twice as much as you speak, huh? Never thought of it that way, did you, huh? Yeah, listen. And he says this, that we're capable of training any type of animal. You ever go to SeaWorld? Any of you ever go to SeaWorld? You ever hear of SeaWorld, you guys? You ever see those dolphins they're actually balancing those beach balls? Isn't that cool? They're able to balance these beach balls on there. It's cool. And they're able to jump about 6 feet over. These dolphins, they were really trained well. But I'll never forget the first time I went to circus was in, I went to the circus in New York City, Barnum and Bailey Three Ring Circus. No? And I was probably 8 years old. And I remember the trapeze artist. And I remember, you've heard of the word comedy, right? One of the means by which you can arrive at comedy is called incongruity. Do you know what that means? You got a guy standing, he's 6'11", you got someone that's only 4'5", and that's incongruous, no? But I remember, Jeremy, there was a Volkswagen and 10 clowns got out of the Volkswagen. I thought that was pretty funny, no? That was called incongruity. But what I remember most was I saw these three bears, big fat bears. They're driving motorcycles around the rink, and they're driving better than the people driving in Los Angeles. Jeremy, I don't think I'm saying too much, right? No. I never forgot. These bears weighing about 600 pounds. They're driving a motorcycle, driving around, raising up their hand, turning left. I said, this is cool, no? But I imagine those trainers probably worked a long time to train them to drive these motorcycles, no? So St. James says we're capable of training all different types of animals, but we can't train your tongue. We can't train the tongue. So one way in which we can break the fifth commandment is by slander or calumniating. Okay, how can we observe the fifth commandment? I might as well tell them this now. Okay, write down, get involved in the pro-life movement. Get involved in the pro-life movement. Wonder if that's new. Do any of you know what the pro-life movement is? Any of you? None of you know what the pro-life, okay, well, I'm using, yes, well, what's the pro-life movement? What's that? Okay, how can we do that? You know, if you're with your parents, I don't know if you've ever done it, there are abortion clinics all over the place. In Long Beach, I mean, almost every city you have an abortion clinic. And you go there with your mom and dad, and there's going to be sometimes a priest there, and you're walking in front of the abortion clinic praying your rosary so that those women that are going into the abortion clinic to have an abortion, by your prayers, that maybe they'll decide not to have the abortion. That's one thing you can do. Again, this is probably going to happen Probably most of you are going to meet some girl that gets pregnant, maybe teenage, maybe your age, maybe you're older, maybe you're younger. And the girl's probably going to come up to one of you girls, maybe the guys too, say, you know, I'm pregnant now. What are you going to do? Very important. Very important. What you're going to say is this, okay, you're pregnant, make sure that you have the baby. You hear me? Don't have the abortion. And maybe, okay, maybe tell the girl to tell her mother, then come to the priest in the church or to talk with one of our catechists. We can help out, right? We'll help out. Come here, okay, and tell your girlfriend to come here, and we'll help her. We have a network. We get Astrid Bennett, who is one of our parishioners. We'll do all we possibly. We'll give you the nurse. We'll give you a good doctor. We'll be able to maybe get some money for you. We'll be able to get Pampers. We'll get psychological help. We'll sit down and be able to talk. We'll do all we possibly can. And more than once, a girl has come to me thinking about having abortion. She said, don't have it. And she had the baby. More than once. More than once. And that's one of the best things you can do. Help this confused girl. Maybe she's 15. She got pregnant. She made a mistake. But don't make a worse mistake by having the abortion. And even though you know, a woman can confess the abortion and she'll be forgiven, still that leaves a scar. Okay? That leaves una jaga, a scar, the rest of her life. Now, I'm almost sure all of you here in this class, you're going to meet someone in your life with that situation. I have many times, well, it's a little bit different with the priest, but you're going to meet someone. You're going to meet someone, surely, that's going to bring you that that reality. And what I often say, okay, that's a blessing. A blessing, what name are you going to give it? I don't know yet if it's a boy or girl. If it's a boy, what name are you going to give it? Juan Diego. What about a girl? Guadalupe. I love that name. You know, I want to baptize that little baby. Oh, I can't wait to baptize that baby. See what I'm doing? Saying all these encouraging words. All these encouraging words. And one of the reasons why girls have abortions is because they're surrounded by people that give them bad advice. Right, Jeremy? Rosa? They're surrounded by people that give them bad advice. Right, Mary?
Absolutely.
They're surrounded by people, but they give bad advice. We have to give good advice. We are people of life. The devil raises the banner. It's the culture of death. We believe in the gospel of life. Right? So we've only gotten through a few of the commandments. So next week will be the big day to make a really good confession in preparation for Easter. Okay, was this pretty helpful? Pretty helpful to form your conscience? What do you think? Okay, let's say Hail Mary, and I'll give you my priestly blessing. Okay, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So you give them the examination of conscience?